Let's just pray for the offering that the Lord will bless. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, that you are with us and for us. Thank you, God, that you are our provision. God, thank you that we needn't look to the economy. We needn't look to the petrol price or anything else. God, we can truly just look to you and know that you are our source. And thank you, God, you bless. Lord, as we've given unto you, God, bless it, God. And bless the rest of this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you've been enjoying the series. I've been enjoying the series, Awake. Awaking in His likeness, becoming more like the Lord. And I don't know if you've ever seen somebody do an illustration in church where they say, I have 100 rand, and then who wants it? Somebody jumps up and goes to get it. I have 500 rand here. Foden, what are you doing, brother? He always likes to win. I have 500 rand here. Who wants it? Like, I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not going to do it like the other people do it. Okay. I'm going to be keeping this in my pocket. But it's amazing what we would do for 500 rand, Foden. I would jump up and run to the front if somebody says he has 500 bucks. No problem, no issues. I'll really get over myself. And I'm sure most of us will get over ourselves. Now, something interesting. This is paper. Have you ever looked at it? This is very nice new bills. Nelson Mandela there on the front. And, you know, so it's like really nice. And I was studying this 100 rand note and I was thinking, yo, now I like Nelson, good guy. I mean, if it wasn't for him, this nation might have been in big trouble. But I was thinking, where's F.W. de Klerk? That's what I was thinking, okay? There's nothing political. I was thinking, where's F.W.? Then I turned it around and I saw this buffalo. And I thought, there's F.W. That was a joke, okay? There was nothing political. You're allowed to make white people look stupid in this nation. It's okay. But it's amazing what you and I would do for a bit of money. It's amazing how people sort of define themselves, their lives, you know, what we drive, where we live, what work we do. So often money is actually the determining factor. And in a certain sense, we build our lives according to paper, if you think about it. Paper, you know, and what I want to share with you this morning is there's nothing more valuable than a human being. There's nothing more valuable than a human being. You know, God in heaven, there's streets of gold. He has more than he wants. He's got everything. God has everything he wants. Except the hearts of people. The hearts of people. That is his greatest prize. That is his treasure. And so I want to speak about treasure this morning. How do you value people? How do you value people? How do I value people? Because that will affect us. That will affect how we treat them. That will affect how we speak to people. That will affect how we view people. You know, there's some people on this earth that would die for saving the whale, which is a noble cause. But some people would rather die for the whale than for an unborn baby, a human being. And so the world is sort of messed up. It's the wrong way around. And God is wanting us, and as Christians, for most of us are Christians probably here, even for Christians, we get so influenced by the world and the things of the world that we also find ourselves treating people like maybe commodities and not like treasure. I've just realized how valuable people truly are. And God is looking for a people. God is looking for a church that would treasure people. God is looking for people whom he can entrust the hearts of people to. But then we need to change our value system. We need to change our value system where we say people are God's greatest treasure. People are God's greatest treasure. And when you and I see that they are valuable, you know what you and I will do? We will extend mercy to them. And that's what I want to also speak about. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We're working through the Beatitudes. It defines our insides. It defines our internal atmosphere. And so for you and for me, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So there's this reward. If you give mercy, you'll receive mercy. But I want to take it a little bit further and say, if you realize the value of a person, you will extend mercy to them. How do you view people? One soul is more valuable than a mountain of treasure. One soul. You know, do you sometimes battle with loving people? We're putting up a mask this morning. No. I love everyone. That irritating neighbor, work colleague, friend maybe, was a friend, is no more. How do we... Sometimes I have to remind myself, I have to tell myself, Jesus actually died for this person. He loves them. I must too. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7. Going to read that in a moment. But if we realize the value of people, would we reposition our lives? Would we look differently? How do you see people? How do you look when you see a beggar? How do you see him? When you look at somebody that irritates you, how do you see her or him? Your spouse... I shared yesterday at a lovely wedding, Terrence and Claire got married, and I just shared about treasure. What you need in life, God has hidden inside of somebody else. Let me say that again. What you need in life, what you need to fulfill your destiny, what you need to become the man God has always destined you to be or the woman God has destined you to be, God has hidden inside of somebody else. The greatest treasure he has hidden inside of your spouse. The greatest treasure. The greatest treasure. You see, you and I, we're not designed to walk alone. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Say treasure. Say it again. Treasure. Okay, so it says this treasure we have inside in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So this says basically a few things. People have inherent value. They are valuable, but more than that, God has hidden treasure on the inside of them. God has hidden treasure on the inside of you. There is something on the inside of us, hidden inside, and God is wanting it to come forth. Beauty, everything you've destined to be, it's inside, and God wants to release it. But it says that it's hidden in earthen vessels, weak vessels, weak vessels. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Do you need mercy? The older I get, the more I realize, God, oh my goodness, I need you. The older I get, the more I realize how frail I am. The older I get, the more I realize how fragile my relationships are with people, how fragile my relationship with my wife is. Everything that's working is the mercy of God, is the grace of God. You see, but if you and I don't realize it, if we don't realize how weak we are, if we don't realize how frail we are, if we don't realize how much we need God, then we become merciless. We become merciless. And the Bible says, the Word of God says, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. But woe to him who's judgmental. Woe to him who judges. Woe to him who lifts himself up onto a platform and start judging others. And so I want to touch on that as well. You know, without my wife, I'm dead. Truth Bob. I can't do what God has destined me to do without her. I guarantee you, in your life, there are people you can't do it without them. I can't do what God has called me to do without the leaders in this church, the people around us. I can't. You know, when I was younger, I always thought I saw everything perfectly. Now I realize I don't see everything perfectly. So now I phone people. I chat to them. What do you think? Help me here. Help me. Share with me what God has hidden inside of you. A treasure. Share it with me. And so then we take maybe good ideas and we make it great ideas. Because somebody was willing to say, tell me, what do you see? What's hidden inside of you? Bring your gift to the table. And so God wants us to do that. He wants us to draw out the treasure that's hidden inside of the people around us. But he first needs to touch our eyes. How do you see them? Draw the treasure out. Husbands, can I speak to the men? Ladies, you can cheer later. I've been seeing a tendency amongst marriages that really battle. I've been seeing a tendency where one of the parties, and sometimes, not always, but I don't know, maybe it's the men sometimes, I don't know. But we have a tendency to not listen. Maybe we hear, but we don't listen. I once sat in a counseling situation with somebody not from this church, and we were sitting there, and the husband and wife were sitting on the couch, and the lady was, I mean, she was in tears, she was crying out for help. Hear me. Just listen to I'm dying. And I'm thinking, okay, great, we're going somewhere, she's sharing her heart, this is gonna, and then he said, well, what do you say, husband? And then I realized, dude, you weren't listening. He didn't hear her. And so she feels she's not being heard. And so she feels she's dying. And so the treasure is not coming out because somebody isn't listening to what she's going through. I'm sure ladies also need to listen. You know, we need to hear the cry of your husband's heart of wanting to be honored, wanting to be respected, wanting to be treated like a hero. But we need to learn to listen. Otherwise, hearts close down. Hearts close down. And that's the key about mercy. Hearts will shut down when we don't listen. Okay, so I really feel that's a word for somebody. I really felt the Holy Spirit lay this on my heart in this week. We need to learn to listen. Okay, so I want to just look at mercy from a few different angles. What does mercy look like? How can you and I become more merciful? Colossians 3, verse 12 to 13. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. As Christ forgave you, you also must do. What does this mean? Just you and I need to walk in the light of the cross. You and I need to come to the cross and realize what it means. We must see this light shining from the cross. What does that light do? We need to see people in the light of the cross, not in the darkness of sin. In the light of the cross, not in the darkness of sin. What does it mean? The most depraved sinner looks beautiful in the light of the cross. The most depraved sinner looks beautiful in the light of the cross. Everyone looks beautiful when you and I are standing in the light of the cross. Everyone looks beautiful when you realize that you were lost, you were that sinner, and you came to Christ and He forgave you. You received mercy. And so in the light of that cross, in the light of the cross, you can give others mercy. When we walk in that light, all that we will see will be light. We will be filled with mercy, for we see them, we see people according to their potential and not according to their problems. It's literally something, it's like you see somebody's problem, but you look past the problem and you see the potential. Because you're standing in the light of the cross. In the light of the cross, there's hope, there's faith, there's potential. There are so many testimonies of people coming to this church, being messed up, broken down, suicidal, a mess, messed up, really, really messed up. Sometimes I speak to people and they come into church and I think, you guys are just so holy. Then I tell you, no, let me tell you some stories. I don't tell them. I just say, you don't want to know. You don't want to know how badly we have, so many of us have messed up. But despite that, the grace of God, the mercy of God has been revealed and people has been transformed. In the light of the cross, sin doesn't stand a chance. In the light of what Jesus did, the worst sin is but a stain that a good old house cleaning blood of Jesus Christ washes away. What's a good house cleaning thingy? Well, Dettol for your hands. Handy Andy. Come on, handy. Jesus handy Andy. Sorts out the greatest sin. Your greatest sin. Your greatest sin is no match for the power of the blood of Christ. When you come into the light, you see perspective. When you and I live under the light of the cross, darkness does not register with us because we're just so full of light. And we can just release light and draw people into the light. That is God's heart. Matthew 7, verse 1 to 2. It says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." This speaks of hypocritical judgment. It means that you are judging somebody else, but you actually yourself not in a good space. That's primarily what it means. But I want to focus on the measure yet that you use, it will be measured back to you. When you and I speak to people, it should be covered in compassion. You see, some people love to speak the truth. But you and I are called to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Do not love to speak the truth. And I think we err to the side. We like to tell somebody, "I have the scripture." You're off. You know? And you could even be right. This is the funny thing. You can be completely right and still wrong if it's not covered in love, if it's not covered in mercy. Guys, you can speak to your wife and you can be right. She's wrong. We justify ourselves beautifully. We can logically explain to the woman in our lives why I am completely right in doing this thing that I know is actually not so great, but I'm going to justify it and I'm going to make her feel silly. Even you might be right, but there must be love, there must be compassion. So don't just speak the truth. Don't love to speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. Jesus was crucified so that we don't need to crucify people anymore. Jesus was crucified so that you and I no longer need to crucify people. Lance Armstrong, Tiger Woods, We can name 100 people in the media who've messed up, who've made mistakes. And what we do is we become God and we determine we're going to judge them. We're going to crucify them. How dare they? How dare they? How dare they? And all I'm thinking is I want to give them mercy because, my goodness, I need mercy. I could be the next stat. I could be the next pastor. You could be the next husband. You could be the next wife that did this or that. The measure that you use will be the measure that God will give back to us. You know, when you start walking a path with God, you get so used to His blessing, you get so used to His goodness and to His grace that you start thinking it's you. Yo, I'm just such a great guy. I had a terrible experience last year sometime. I had a week of hell. It's like, you know, I had a past before I came to Christ. And I mean, end of last year, we had a wonderful year. Things were going beautifully, brilliantly. God is moving. Lives are changing. God is with us. And then 1 week, it's like the grace of God was removed from me. I completely freaked. It's like, I spoke to my wife and saying, it's like everything from my past is coming back to haunt me. And I realized when that came, it was like God telling me, remember who's carrying you. Remember who's carrying your luggage, your baggage. Remember who's giving you the grace to be pure and holy. Remember who's the one who's extending mercy to you. Remember who you're working for. If it's working, guys, if your life is working, give Him praise. Give Him praise. Don't take His glory. Do not take His glory. So that was like a shock to me. I was like, whoa, okay, Jesus. Jesus was crucified so that we no longer need to crucify people. It happened a few years ago that there was a couple that I love dearly, and was a situation where they really hurt me in the sense of, it's weird to explain it, but it was like we were sitting at the same table, and I was speaking to some of the people on this side, and the other side, one of the this couple was speaking badly of me to my senior leaders from Cape Town. While we're sitting at the same table, I was thinking we have good relationship, and then they said the most horrible things. And I remember being so, and I was hearing other people there and people there and people there, and the people were speaking badly. And I was so hurt. I was so wounded. And I remember the one evening, my wife and I, we couldn't sleep. We were so freaked out just because of the pain it inflicted on us. And I felt, I am right. And now I'm gonna tell you who's right. You know when you feel you're right and you've got scripture to back you and you know this is ungodly behavior, it's like bazooka time. I mean, take out a bazooka, I'm going to blow you apart. And I remember, you know, with words, tell you that you're wrong and it's not right and it's unchristlike and everything. And I remember I was sitting on my bed, I was psyching up for this thing. And it's been months of this nonsense. And I remember God showing me a picture. Like a picture in my mind's eye, like a picture of something. I saw the Titanic, the last scene of the Titanic, about the last bit about to go down. And the Lord told me, if you become proud, the ship will sink. If you become proud, the ship will sink. And in that moment, I knew God was saying, it's not bazooka. I don't do bazooka. I do mercy. I got up. I went to my email, and I emailed them, and I honored them. And I thanked them for everything they've done, and I honored them for who they are. And I chose to look away from the weaknesses, the mistakes, and even what I would say sin, and I just focused on the potential of these people. And I honored them, and I honored them, and I humbled myself. But I knew the moment I did that, I opened the door for God to come in. So I'm not going to fight for myself. God, you come in. I will extend mercy. If they write, fine, but you be the judge. I'm not going to judge. You know, it's so hard. It's so hard to do that because you really need to trust, Lord, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. Just because you're right doesn't give you the right to be unloving. Just because you are right doesn't give you the right to be unloving. We do not see clearly. We think we see clearly. We think we can see somebody's heart. You cannot. You can never say you are this and you are that and you are that. You can't. You can just say, well, according to the way you're doing it, it seems like you are. Help me here. Well, tell me your side of the story. Let's try and reconcile. Especially in marriages. This is critical. You know, we want to crucify. We want to say, you're wrong. So we want to crucify you. No, you're wrong. We want to crucify you. No, we're both wrong on one level or another. Let's reconcile. Let's reconcile. But God, I'm right and they did this to me. So what? That's not the point. Can God trust you and me with people? Even people that wound us or hurt us, disappoint us. Even people who are wrong. Can I trust you with people? That's what God is asking us. Can God trust you with people? What do you do at work when somebody under your authority does something really wrong? It was stupid. How do you handle it? How do you react? Do you shoot them apart? Do you take them apart? It's not merciful. You can still correct them, but with mercy. You see, the challenge is when it comes to mercy is that we often judge others in the area of our strengths. So it's so natural for me. So I can't understand. I mean, 23 times 24 divided by 2 times 5. It's simple, man. If you're an accountant or an engineer, somebody else, 2 plus 7, flip it. What is it over here? 9, you know. Silly example, but it's so true. Matthew 7:6. It says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces, in pieces. This is in the context of judging others. So it says, do not give what is holy to the dogs. I'd say, do not give what is holy to the devil. Nor cast your pearls, your treasure, your wife, your kids, your friend, another believer in church. Don't take the pearl and cast it before swine because you've judged. You've spoken badly. You've spoken things over them. Lest they trample them under their feet. So the devil tramples all over them because there's such words, such power in our words, such power in our words to destroy. A husband can destroy his wife. A wife can destroy her husband just with words. There's such power in words. It says, don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet. I know it's often been used in the sense, don't share your heart with people that will just trample all over it. That's true, but I believe it's in a context of judging others. And you get torn to pieces as well. Words. I was in this week, I was convicted about this. We were in a leader, some of the leaders were together, and I said a few things about somebody else that wasn't kind. We were like, ha ha, laughing, but I was so convicted by the Holy Spirit afterwards. And so I emailed some of the leaders, and I said, I apologize, that is wrong, we don't do that, we don't speak badly about people, we don't laugh at people behind their backs. I'm not looking for that nonsense in this church. We don't do that, you know. So let's not cast our pearls before swine. Give people mercy. Focus on their potential. Cover their weaknesses. Cover their weaknesses. Don't expose it. Look at the potential. Focus on the treasure God has put in somebody. How does it work? It's like end of last year, we had this prophetic weekend and week. And there was just such a flow of the prophetic. What's prophetic? It's like God's word speaking straight from his heart. revealing something about somebody. And I remember even with my good friend, one of my good friends is a pastor, I laid hands on him and I prayed for him and his wife, and God gave me words about him. And he's a great guy. He's a child of God. He's a calling on his life. But when I received these words, it was like I was blown away. It was like, God's going to do amazing things in your life. And the result was that I can look away from even his faults or weaknesses, and I can just start encouraging him. I see this in your life. Even with my wife and I, we have words from the Lord concerning one another. And Sonica, so often in the past, you can ask her, when we got married, 11, 12 years ago, I was a mess. I was a mess. And she was often frustrated and taking it to God and praying and say, Lord, I'm worried about this man. I'm worried about these things I'm seeing in his life. But she had a promise in her heart where God told her, just give him time. He's going to change. I'm going to change him. I'm going to do this in him. So she could focus on my potential and not on my faults. It takes years. It takes years sometimes to help somebody. To create an environment where somebody can start fulfilling their full potential. Grace, mercy. Grace, mercy. The beauty of marriage is to see the worst in your partner, but to look past it. To see the cross. On Thursday evening, we were worshiping, and I just felt God speak to my heart. I felt he's saying, just look into my eyes. Look away from the distractions. Look away from the issues. Just look into my eyes, because in my eyes there is strength. In my eyes there's confidence. In my eyes there's healing. In my eyes. And so maybe you're battling in your marriage. Maybe you're battling in your relationships. Look into the eyes of Christ and see the potential of your partner. Cover the weaknesses, don't expose it, and look at the potential. Look at the potential. Look at the potential. Sonica has been transformed over the 12 years that I've known her. Transformed. Confidence in every area of her life. She is 50 times the person she was, and she was glorious already. But glory to glory. Almost finished. Just want to, this last bit. Open the door for the merciful one. Few things impact somebody's life as powerfully as giving them mercy when they know they don't deserve it. How about God entrusting you and me with the ability to open a door for God to walk through, the merciful one, to walk into somebody's life? Wouldn't you want to open the door for people? Give them mercy when they don't deserve it. Give them mercy when they know they don't deserve it. Ladies, your husband might make a mistake. You told him it's not going to work. He did it. It didn't work. So what do? I told you so. You should listen to me. He knows he's wrong. He knows he's messed up. Don't tell him so. Now you treat him with respect and honor. And you say, I believe in you. You're a good man. I believe in you and I back you. Blessed are the merciful ones, for they will open the door to the merciful one. The merciful one. And I just want to end off with this. Before I read the last scripture, we were once in a pastor's meeting many years ago, maybe 7, 8 years ago, I can't remember. And I remember us as shofar pastors, we were speaking badly about a few other churches. And I think we were right to a certain degree. But then we were worshiping God, and the Lord gave me a word. It was a question, and I shared it with the guys. It was so convicting. I felt God asked this question: would you Would you judge your child for being sick? Would you? Anybody here, do you judge your child for being sick? And I felt God speaking to us, and I shared it with everybody. I said, I felt the Lord is saying, but that's what you are doing. You are judging my bride. You are judging my children. You are speaking badly of those whom I love. And although they might be sick, although they might not have all the truth you have, although they might not know everything you know, you're judging them. And the Lord said, I don't want you to judge them, because I want to use you to bring healing into their lives. I want to use you as a church group to bring life to other churches. I want to bless you so that you can be a blessing. But if you judge them, there's a disconnect and they will not receive. Guys, we need to honor churches. We need to. I remember when the church that I came from, I grew up in, I was so angry at the church. They didn't tell me. They didn't tell me about the Holy Spirit. They didn't tell me all the things that I now know. But they didn't know. We shouldn't judge. Ending off with this, Philippians 2 verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's a tough one. It's basically saying, get off your pedestal. Get off your pedestal. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Worship team, you can come forward. I want us to do a song. It's a one-liner. And I so felt that God wants us to pray for some people here this morning. I felt that God wants to release life into some of us, on the inside of us. I believe God wants us to get off our pedestal and with lowliness of mind, lift others up. In lowliness of mind, lift others up. The pedestal is a place of judgment, looking down on others. But when we esteem others better than ourselves, how do you do that? Honor. We need to honor people. We need to honor churches. We need to honor people who have even made mistakes. We need to honor people. We need to focus on the good and say, but I see this good in you. I see this treasure in you. And I want to draw it out. Through mercy, I want to draw it out. Through love, I want to release the goodness of God on your life. Put others on a pedestal. Put others on a pedestal. Esteem them higher than yourself. Somebody had this word at the cell group in this week, an image of humility. It says, when we humble ourselves and make ourselves meek, bending down and meeting people at their feet, as we hunch down on our hands and knees in front of them, we form a stepping stone and they can step on us to get closer to God. It's not a position many of us strive to be in. But when we get the bigger picture, bending down at someone's feet in order to lift them closer to God is only but one of the greatest honors. It is. Jesus died for every soul. He shed his blood for the beggar, for the corrupt politician, for the sinner, for the pastor that's gone astray. And he's waiting for you and me to give mercy and open the door for the merciful one. And I'm telling the Lord, God, I don't want to be a church that judges. I don't want to be a Christian that's arrogant. I don't want to be on a pedestal. I want to lift others up. And I want to see them meet with Christ. And so God is calling you and me to take that position where we esteem others higher than ourselves. You know, if it's the president, okay, I don't think lots of you don't have respect for the president, but maybe somebody you really have respect for. The Queen of England. Okay, she's not killed anybody recently, so the Queen of England. It would be an honor to bring her morning newspaper and carry her sandals or slippers and put it on her feet, because I esteem her higher than myself. There's greatness inside every human being. There's treasure inside every human being if we walk in the light of the cross. Guys, let's get off our pedestals. Let's stop judging. Humility lifts people closer to God. So, do you value people? Do you extend mercy to them? Even when you are right, do you extend mercy? Even when you are right. Last week I said, guys, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about our awesome God. So I want to invite, we're going to sing this song. It's about the resurrection life of Christ. And I want to invite you, the small group facilitators and some of the interns as well will come and stand here in the front in groups of two. And I want to encourage you to come and receive resurrection life. We're going to pray for you. If you feel far from the Lord, if you feel that you're proud, if you feel that you're full of yourself, if you feel that you lack mercy, if you just need a blessing from God, I want to invite you to come and stand here at one of the groups, and they're going to pray for you and just release mercy, blessing to you. Amen. Let's stand. And the facilitators can come forward. I really want to encourage all of you to come. We had an amazing time of prayer on Tuesday night with a perspective seminar. God was touching lives. And I believe God wants to touch some of us here this morning. Undeniably. As God, we thank you that you are merciful God. You are a merciful God. And so, Lord, we just pray for each of us, Lord, that you come and reveal to us how valuable people are. God, help us to become merciful. Help us, God, to honor others. Help us to lift others up as we humble ourselves. Blessed are the merciful. They shall receive mercy. And so, Lord, as a church, this is our desire. We want to be a merciful church. We want to be merciful people. And we want to extend mercy to others. For we know we need mercy. Father, I thank you for the treasure that you've hidden inside each and every person here this morning. Beautiful treasure. God, we pray that that treasure will come forth. That good men will become great men. Good women will become greater, God. Godly. Godly. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Glory to God. So I just want to encourage you to come forward. Specifically, if there's marriages as well, maybe just as a couple, maybe just come. That we can pray with you. We just want to spend some time blessing you and pouring blessing out over your lives. Amen. So you're welcome to come forward, and we're just going to bless you.